last speaker, not least, but John Yates is going to teach us from the Word of God.
Mighty man.
Mighty man.
I didn't say
it. Sit down. Right. I'm going to take a leaf out of John's book. I'm going to pray before I talk. Let's pray. Can we turn this off in some way?
Yeah,
which one? It's annoying.
Is it?
Yeah. All right, let's pray.
Good luck, Lord.
Yeah. Father, thank you that we can be here today. And we're here to have some sense of what the Spirit is saying to the church. What is Jesus doing in our time? We want to thank you what Jesus has done in other times. And Lord, certain things he will do in the future also. But we want to be attentive to your voice and understand what is Jesus doing in our time. And for this we have the Holy Spirit, who searches all things, even the deep things of God. Continue to give us ears that would hear and hearts that would obey, for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. I do have a key text. It's Matthew 13:34-36. Most of what I'm going to say is in that handbook, but I've changed some things. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So I want to talk about the kingdom of God first. By the kingdom of God, we mean God's active ruling power, what God does as king to establish his kingdom on the earth. The kingdom of God is about action. And the kingdom of God, as you know, was a central feature of Jesus' teaching, particularly in the first three Gospels. And as someone has said, Jesus didn't teach us to pray, your church come. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come, because the kingdom builds the church. And the kingdom of God was always in Jesus' ministry accompanied by various signs. Now, these signs expressed the presence of God, that God was absolutely and vitally present in the presence of the person of Jesus himself. So in Matthew 11, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. It's the nature of the kingdom of God to liberate from the tyranny of every sort of evil. Now, every sort of evil, the sort of evil that comes upon people when they hear this stuff about swine flu. It's got nothing to do with swine. But the sort of tyranny that comes on people when they hear about GFC. That's not Geelong Football Club. That's a global financial crisis. But the tyranny that comes upon people, that comes from every sort of evil, is overcome by the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, it's because the gospel of the kingdom of God undoes the power of evil, the gospel of the kingdom of God is essentially communicable. Now, that means it's the very nature of the gospel to be communicated. Now, if the gospel is not being communicated, then the gospel as people understand it is not understood. Right? The true gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God, God's ruling power is essentially communicable. That is, in its very nature, it will be communicated. Now, the problem we have today in the church, by and large, and particularly in this country, is that people have lost the meaning of the gospel. That's why so many bad things are happening. But I believe God's speaking about the rediscovery of the kingdom of God in our time. And in this parable of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, This discovery of the kingdom of God is unexpected. You know, as they say, grace is always surprising. If you're not surprised, what's happening to grace in your life? It's being quenched. And it happens in this parable. This discovery of the kingdom happens in the marketplace world of work. It doesn't happen. It didn't happen in the synagogue, except when Jesus was there. Right? It didn't happen in special holy places where some people had more privilege access than others. God's kingdom encompasses all over which he rules, everywhere. You know, he's the Lord of all the earth. And when the kingdom is discovered, like the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, what was the answer? Now, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. So when the kingdom of God is discovered, the result is joy and what I call undivided passion. Now, the undivided passion, these people got rid of everything else so that they could have the kingdom. I don't see much of that today, I have to say. I don't see much of it where there's this undivided passion for the king. Because the kingdom of God brings a new kind of wealth, a new kind of wealth that devalues every other form of currency, whether that currency is money, whether it's approval, whether it's position. The kingdom of God sets that all into nothingness. Now, Paul said, whatever gain I had, I used to be very tempted intellectually and I thought I'd do this and that and that. But Paul said, whatever gain I had, and he was a great intellectual, he said, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. It's all about Jesus. Now, you can make jokes about that, John Nichols, but it is actually all about Jesus. All things were made through him and for him. So I believe that the Lord's speaking about a new vision of God. And what people are beginning to discover in the marketplace is the surpassing excellence of Christ ruling in the purity of his person. Ruling in the purity of his person rather than all these additions and accretions and things we put on Jesus. It's Jesus himself who brings in the kingdom, not an organization. That's why this Marketplace Connect, we got together at the beginning and we said, this must not be an organization. It can be a network of mutually supporting networks. There's a difference, okay? And the Jesus that his people are discovering in the marketplace is a Jesus who has no other name, which is no other name than his own name. So he's not a Calvinist Jesus. I'm quite Calvinistic, so I can say that. He's not a Baptist Jesus. He's not a Protestant Jesus or a Pentecostal Jesus. There's a discovery of Jesus, just Jesus himself. And Jesus is being found in the marketplace as the only king and shepherd of a single flock. Right? One flock. One shepherd. Forget all the rest of it. I mean, we're still going to have denominational labels, but they don't really exist in the reality of the kingdom of God. Right? Just one flock, one shepherd. And there's a beautiful presence of the Lord. People are being just discovering this simplicity of the one who pastors, the one who witnesses, the one who calls, the one who disciplines, and all that. Okay, and as this grows, more and more people are going to come into this greatest of discoveries, and that is that the eternal kingdom of God is freely given. Freely given. Now, if you ask the question, what was most precious to Jesus himself? I think this is the answer. I believe I was praying about this morning. I believe this is what he spoke to me. From John chapter 14, verse 10, he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Right? The Father who dwells in me does his works. Now, if we really entered into this, we'd understand that the reality of work, the reason why there's a thing called work in this world, is that the Father of the Son might indwell in us and work through us. That is why there is such a thing called work, there's such a thing called the marketplace, is that the eternal God and Father of Jesus Christ, in Christ, might dwell in you and work through you to the praise of his glorious grace. Jesus sensed in himself, in the reality of his humanity, that the one who created the world, the one who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who gave the law to Moses, and who spoke through the mouth of the prophets, who formed him in his own mother's womb, that person lived in him and was his father in the most intimate sense of the word. The deepest possible intimacy of the Father indwelling all he did. That was what was and still is today in heaven, most precious to Jesus. Now this revelation of the indwelling Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit is the key, I believe, to a remarkable global transformation. San Hui talked about some chap who had considerable foresight, right? I believe this is what we're talking about. What is God doing? Where is he taking his people? That this revelation I'm talking about is the key to a remarkable global transformation, a grace awakening that God is bringing to pass across the planet. This time, now I'm a bit of a fan of Martin Luther, but this time, and his theology of the cross in particular, this time, this grace awakening is not going to happen in the cloisters of the gathered church, but in the back-to-front nature of the kingdom of God. In the everyday world of the marketplace, there is a grace awakening occurring across this planet. In the marketplace, where everything is seemingly based on performance, men and women are beginning to realize that as the children of God, they do not work for God, but they do their works in God. There's a huge difference between a performance-based spirituality, which dominates the church, let me say, and knowing that you do your works, as John 3:21, Jesus talked, doing your works in God. Now, when you do your works in God, whatever God has called you to do, well, all those other things, position, privilege, title, status, and money become, well, what Jesus showed them to be. Nothing. Nothing, because they're not eternal. So my sense is God is preparing and working towards this global move. But this global move is going to happen not in a traditional church-centered way. It's a move of the kingdom of God. And it's a grassroots movement that the Lord is opening up so that people are directly answerable to himself. Now, why is this rediscovery of the kingdom of God happening in the marketplace? Now, there are all sorts of reasons for that, which I don't have to go into, especially since time's gone. But look, how is he going to disciple the nations? It's not going to happen like it used to happen, where you had people who were predominantly sent as professional missionaries. It's going to happen through the marketplace, through people and all their commerce and movement across this planet, people in the ordinary everyday, so to speak, realm of work where the kingdom of God is finding its expression. This work of God for the transformation of the nations is going to happen with those who are already immersed in the world. And I think that's what the Lord's speaking about. And that's the vision he's called each of us to serve in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, John.